Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on Sports Grid, and this is The Early Line. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside for what promises to be a big day of basketball. How you feeling, Donnie?
Yeah, all I got to say is where Brooklyn at? Because they ain't going to be on this show today as we fast forward a lot of today's notes from the NBA as we focus on the Final Four. But this feels like a football Friday. Even though there's no football, big game action in the NBA and also one of the most anticipated Final Four weekends that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Excited to preview the Final Four today. We'll hit it. Not only, you know, look, the sides and the totals, but there's some fun props, some legitimate markets, too, that we've only now seen created through the Final Four, which kind of, you know, shows that it's a bigger deal. Absolutely. But also, we will talk about last night's NBA action. In fact, that's where our 7-7 headlines begin. Giannis leads the Bucks past the Brooklyn Nets in overtime. 120 to 119, what do you know? The Nets now under 500 when they are favored at home, straight up. Milwaukee, Donnie, and Giannis get the job done.
You know, I think the most important thing is there was multiple chances all game long to cash out with a great profit on the Nets, and that's all that matters from last night, as I would like to say that. I don't know how the Nets lost, but they did, and maybe the Bucks are good at this. Let's get down double digits on an opposing team's floor and steadily whittle that lead down, whether it's over an entire quarter or maybe just 2 minutes to make up 7 points. That's a great performance, and led by Giannis. We're going to talk a little bit about the MVP odds and where they're shifting towards, but this is what you wanted out of the Bucks. You needed the Bucks to go on the road and beat a somewhat healthy Nets team. There's no more excuses for the Nets. You get, oh, wait till Simmons gets in there. No, last night was your night. You had a 7-point lead with roughly 2 minutes to go, and you lost that game in overtime. That's on you, Nets, but that's a nice win by the Bucks.
100%. We will. The MVP odds have finally moved. It only took consecutive 40-point games versus the two teams that are booked inside the top three alongside Milwaukee in the East, but they have moved. Some interesting directions, though. It's a statement from the Bucks that they are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, which they are, unquestionably here. I will say, there was a moment that Brooklyn was up one, and I absolutely had an evil, you know, rooting there for Brooklyn to win by one and win and not cover the 1.5 or the 2-point spread, which would have been fantastic. I'll tell you what, though, while that was a fantastic game and you could certainly feel good about both teams moving forward, the Philadelphia 76ers provide a really bad loss because it feels like the Sixers need a confidence booster. And going to Detroit as a double-digit favorite should have been that. Instead, they lose the fourth quarter, 29-15, lose to the Pistons by 8, all with Joel Embiid, Donnie, having 37-15.
Yeah, Joel Embiid and his merry misfits out there because nobody wanted to help out with James Harden, Tobias Harris, you know, Tyrese Maxey, the mystery that is Matisse Thybulle and his 2 to 4 points each and every night, despite playing about 30 minutes a night and starting. I just talked about the starting lineup here for the Sixers, Kevin. We're not even going to get into the bench, which absolutely gives you nothing. I understand the NBA is a star-driven league. If your stars play well, you're probably going to win. But it's nice. Every once in a while, where Joel Embiid could turn on and be like, Can somebody actually help me? Do I have to score close to 40 every night to give us a chance? When I go out of the game and sit on the bench with a 10-point lead, in 3 minutes, I'm not supposed to come back into the game when it's tied. And that's consistently happening here in Philadelphia.
There are some real questions around Harden and Doc Rivers, and we will get to those today. The radio audience is in full effect. Appreciate everybody tuning in to Sports Grid Radio, listening to The Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here on this Friday morning. We also saw DeMar DeRozan give the Clippers a 50 spot. Fantastic result for the Bulls, who just narrowly eke out a cover, 135 to 130 in overtime. We saw the Utah Jazz beat the Lakers, 122 to 109. It was a cover for the Lakers, but the bigger story, Donnie, is tonight LeBron anticipated to be back, and Anthony Davis might join him as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're right? They punted last night. I'm actually surprised that they covered that full game spread, but one of the points of emphasis that we brought up was maybe just take the Lakers and fade them in the first half, which you would have covered the point spread in that realm. It's crazy. Like, all top spot, not for a big game against the Phoenix Suns, not for a game here. This is why how the tables have turned there in Los Angeles, where the Lakers, big games are now, if they can stay, I don't know, in the 10 spot. Woohoo, man.
Other Los Angeles news, this from the NFL. Bobby Wagner has made his decision where he will pick it up after being cut by the Seattle Seahawks. Cannot convince me that people do not dislike Pete Carroll here. Like, Richard Sherman left, immediately went to San Francisco. Now Bobby Wagner stays in division as well. He's going to the defending Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams. It's a big-time signing, Donnie.
It is a big-time signing. And also, here's a public service announcement for your team that's going, you know what, we're in good position of the salary cap in the future. You are lying to your fan base as the Rams make a mockery of the cap. A, if you have an owner that has money, great. B, if the owner wants to spend money, even better.
Yeah, the early line is pro-Rams. Shout-out to Xavier as they won the NIT, a fantastic tournament. And bad news for the Mets fans. Jacob DeGrom already dealing with shoulder tightness. He needs to stay healthy. Talk some NBA headlines.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the early line, the question that everybody is asking is, when is Donnie's Thanasis Antetokounmpo jersey showing up? Now, I have to say, that doesn't sound like a loser's prize. I mean, that's a winner's prize. Nets Bucks, organically, Donnie and I found ourselves on opposite sides of this game here. I trust Milwaukee. I back Milwaukee. I've been talking about this run for the Bucks here for a little bit now and how this can relate to the MVP. And we'll get to the MVP side of it in a moment. But the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets 120 to 119. 44-14-6 for Giannis in this win. Chris Middleton ejected with about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So obviously that carries itself because they were down at the time, the Bucks, and certainly you didn't have them for all of overtime. A split scoring night for Brooklyn, 26 for Durant, 25 for Kyrie, and that was with them still getting to 119 points. Your reaction, Donnie, leave the MVP aside for the time being, from Milwaukee's one-point overtime victory.
Yeah, that was a bad loss for the Nets here, because anytime, like, it's one thing in the NBA when you go on runs, and they, quite frankly, just about every night you see runs in the NBA, whether it's you're down 10 in the first quarter, down 10 in the second quarter, down 10 in the third. Okay, you see it, tie it up and see what happens. But it's very rare here that you see teams like the Brooklyn Nets. Now, the Nets are 40-37 on the season. Obviously, a lot of that due to injury related, trading guys out of town, guys can't play on their home court. So finally, you get your two superstars back. And when you have two superstars and a 7-point lead with roughly 2 minutes to go, that's an automatic autopilot win. That means just throw it to Kyrie, throw it to KD, do they get fouled, make their free throws, or, you know, go one-on-one and isolate and get easy buckets and put the pressure on the opposing team. And they weren't able to close this game out. Now, some say, oh, you could blame it on Andre Drummond, make a free throw, 0 for 2 on the night, had two key free throws down the stretch that he missed. But you can't just isolate that and say it was Andre Drummond's fault because he didn't make two free throws. Your superstars are supposed to close these games out. And how about your defense? How about getting one stop? How about not fouling repeatedly to send the Bucks to the free throw line over the final 2 minutes? Get a stop, make a bucket, and then that's win. They weren't able to do that even in the biggest moments, right? Giannis, you're up 3 points here. Just defend the three-point line. You're going to win the game. You don't defend it. Giannis knocks down the three, and off you go in the OT with multiple chances for Kevin Durant to be the superstar that he is to close the game out. Couldn't do it in the fourth quarter. Couldn't do it in overtime.
Look, I think you're very correct. This was a really bad loss for Brooklyn. A win here for the Nets sends the message that we all seemingly exists and lurks over the head of the top of the Eastern Conference. You don't want us. You know that's bad for you. You're not trying to be the two seed and play us in the opening round. And instead, the Bucks on the road without Middleton for the final five plus overtime, when in your building, Giannis can look across that court and say, listen, KD, I've been complimenting you your whole career. I'm better than you now. That's the truth of the matter. Ben's not coming back. Certainly Harden is no longer a part of this organization. I am the guy, and you're going to have to go through me. And it's not just all of that, Donnie. They are now in a three, they being the Brooklyn Nets, are in a three-way tie with Charlotte and Atlanta, which means this team is one bad result away from going to the 10th spot. I don't know how many times I have to tell people that the Brooklyn Nets are the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, these, like, I know the records aren't the same, but the situation, the scenarios continue to be so clearly comparable. The difference is one is booked like they have no chance in the Lakers, and I get it, and the other routinely positioned as a favorite. But that has been changing because the Bucks now are comfortably as strong, but they are the favorite in the East, plus 270 to Brooklyn's, plus 320. And that is deserved. I find Miami to be disrespected still in this market, all in all. But Milwaukee, Donnie, considering that they are the reigning defending NBA champions, and the two results that they just put forward back-to-back on the road with Giannis playing the way that he did, absolutely warrant being the favorites in the East. And I think you could argue, based on the way the NBA typically is viewed, you could argue they belong as the favorites in the entire sport.
Yeah, you have continuity on that team, and you have a very deep team overall. Very good starting lineup, very good guys off the bench. They've been there, done that before. Not a whole lot of moving pieces here that are going to upset the balance of what they did last year. But also, take a look at the Bucks. Could have very easily, and this is the great part about the NBA and where you can go back and forth. Very easily, the Bucks could win 0-2, and you say, this team isn't good. Not as good as they were last year. Sixers won by double digits. Nets held on, won by double digits. And that's a tough look for the Bucks here. Yeah, maybe they're bullies and they can handle their business on their home court, but maybe they revert back to pre-2020, you know, where they were winning a lot of games in the regular season. But when it really boils down to it, just not tough enough to advance in the playoffs. They're two gutty performances and gutty wins. Not only coming back from 7 points or 2 minutes ago, as you said, Middleton thrown out of that game. So it almost had to feel like NCAA action where it was, remember Baylor, UNC? Here comes Baylor down the stretch. Oh boy, UNC doesn't have their players in overtime. What a gutty performance by UNC to beat Baylor. Same thing I get the feel for the Bucks. Now, the Bucks did win a championship last year, but you're still looking at this game, and if you're the Bucks, going, if we lost to the Nets here, just didn't play all that well, no big deal, we'll go back home. But back-to-back gutty performances to beat the Philadelphia 76ers and also the Brooklyn Nets in the Eastern Conference, that's great for looking forward to the playoffs, because even though the Bucks won the championship last year, everybody's still anticipating the Nets just breezing somehow through from the 8th, 9th, or 10th seed and walking to the NBA Finals because they have Kyrie and also Kevin Durant. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, even though they're still priced incredibly for their performances on the court now.
Yeah. Yes, they are. They are still being overvalued in the market. I think if they draw Milwaukee in the first round, it would change. We'll see if that happens. There's one other note I want to hit from this game specifically, though. I think a bit of a reminder for people around a certain situation with this Brooklyn Nets team. Kyrie Irving is now a full-time player. Kyrie Irving has not cashed you an over on his points prop since becoming a full-time player. the random 50, 60, 43 spots that he was giving you. And give him credit. Those are fantastic games. That is not normal, though. Guys don't do that, okay? Kyrie is actually averaging and will finish averaging 30 points per game for the month of March. Yet only going over that just three times in the month of March. I mean, he went over his points prop just three times in the month of March. Because now there's more on Kyrie's plate. Now you're not out there with a basic bye week advantage versus every single team that you are running up against. And here's the other truth. I promise, no one's rooting for injury. These are just facts. Kyrie doesn't finish seasons healthy. He hasn't in a while. Very consistently, he is unavailable in his team's final game of a season. The Brooklyn Nets, Donnie, are not in a good spot. Because what is becoming pretty clear to me is if they're going to make a real run, it's not just going to be with KD giving you 35 a night. And I mean 35 a night. They're also going to need the 30 from Kyrie. And I don't really expect it anymore, Donnie.
Yeah, and maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it was the perfect scenario where Kyrie knew he was only playing here on the road. And Kyrie could use all of, hey, I'm rest up for what? I'm going to have the next 6 days off. And maybe that was the point of emphasis where he was going for his 30, 35, 40, you know, 50-point efforts here. But you're right, in back-to-back games, because it's not for a lack of trying. Like, I know you said the other night, like, hey, just wasn't looking for, like, his points at that point. If you're looking at the game last night, you shoot over 20 times in a game. You're getting yours at that point. And he had a 6-for-22 effort a couple games ago. I believe he was 9-of-22 as an effort in the previous game last night. So it's not for a lack of effort, but maybe just being a veteran guy at that point.
Yeah, look, well, they need Kyrie. And also, they need Ben Simmons, who's very much so not coming back, which is a problem. The Milwaukee Bucks, though, feel good about themselves, and Giannis has made a dent in this MVP race with his 44-14-6. Embiid going the wrong direction. We'll talk about the Sixers game and the MVP odds next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early lines. Big results in the NBA last night and a Sixers loss in Detroit that leaves us with a lot to unpack. But first, Joel Embiid gave you 37-15. And if I would have told you that Joel Embiid, 37-15, win or lose, you'd probably say that his odds for the MVP would strengthen. At worst, they'd sit the same. Have not been lower in quite some time. Joel Embiid is plus 200 to win this award. Nikola Jokic is minus 200. It feels like a prank. But the Giannis movement has finally happened. 44-14-6. The game before was 42-14-6. The game-winning block versus Philly. The game-tying three versus Brooklyn. Looking like the best player in the NBA back-to-back games. We talked about this spot, Donnie, for Giannis. This was not any normal two-game run. It was a two-game run that pit you head-to-head with a legitimate MVP candidate and Embiid, and then prime time versus the Brooklyn Nets and a chance to back it up and then some, and Giannis A+, A++ in these two games. 10-1, went to 14-1. We sit here, though, now on April 1st, plus 550 on Giannis.
Yeah, I need an SEC investigation here into the NBA and the odds market that we're getting here in the MVP race. Because apparently, whatever you've done for 80% of the season, we only get out the microscope for the final 20%. And also, market make, because let's be honest with ourselves here. If we don't get a straw poll, which could be completely fabricated out on the market, Joel Embiid is a minus 200 right now to win this award and not Nikola Jokic. Because everybody would just fall in line with the odds of what we've seen, Kevin, for the entire season. And what has told you that Joel Embiid isn't an MVP candidate anymore? 37-15, nobody helps him out. Oh, yeah, well, they lost. Well, it wasn't because Joel Embiid was on the court with the numbers that he put up. That would have been fascinating to see. And it's great that we can't really see it in real time now and take things back, because the straw poll comes out and completely flips everything and now says, well, hold on now. Giannis has been so good, we do have to get some bets, and we think we're going to get some bets and move these lines in their favorite. But even though Giannis is tearing the country apart right now and beating everybody he's supposed to beat on the road and in epic fashion, where he's the leader of the team and the reason why they're winning these games, him sitting at a plus 550 is still ridiculous. Because after last night, I know Giannis's numbers moved, but granted, he's not moving from a plus 165 to a plus 120, right? He's moving from 10 to 1 numbers to 8. We can't leave him at 10 to 1. We got to go to plus 550, which is still an extreme long shot. Giannis had a monster game on national TV and a big overtime win. Joel Embiid went for 37-15, and Nikola Jokic moved to minus 200 when he didn't even take the court.
It, to me, Donnie, last night, and again, we were talking about this Giannis run here for a bit. I think Embiid was eliminated from it. People can say that's unfair to Joel Embiid. I understand. I do not know how anyone makes an argument for Joel Embiid over Giannis. Giannis is averaging more points per game. They have a better record in the same conference. And I know it was one game, but man, that head-to-head does matter, because it really wasn't that close. I mean, Giannis was clearly the best player in that game. You could probably say Embiid had less help throughout most of the season. I think you'd win that argument. And I know that the gap right now in record is two games, so again, that'd be fair. But this is where I think we are right now, and that Giannis, in my eyes, passed Embiid yesterday. But he can't pass Embiid in the odds market because he was already so far behind the eight ball. But I said this would happen. Again, not everything that I told you so, but this is just an instance where I think it was, you could see it coming a bit. The whole broadcast, Donnie, maybe it's time to talk about Giannis getting that third trophy. All of Twitter, ooh, Giannis saying, just hold up on that MVP race. Maybe you should give it a second to consider here. Because my thing now is, you look here at Giannis, Donnie, forget the other two guys. Giannis is a half game back of a one seed and is tied to the point decimal with LeBron for the scoring title. How is Giannis, Donnie, going to give you a one seed, scoring title, best record of anybody in the hunt, best defensive player of the bunch? How is he not coming away with this award?
But here's what I want to factor in as well. Like the straw poll 1.0, straw poll 2.0, and 3.0 comes out. The thing that I like is the MVP is usually wrapped up by now, quite frankly. And usually it should be here, unless it's just like two guys just going head-to-head, tied in the standings, putting up 50-point numbers back-to-back to end the season. And they say, okay, there's going to be some movement here. But let's just focus on ESPN's 3.0 straw poll. Jokic, 62 first-place votes. Joel Embiid, 37. Giannis, 30. We're within a week's time frame of when that straw poll 3.0 came out. So now am I led to believe that NBA executives, right? Let's just say this is true. Let's just say these are exactly the voters, Kevin, who are voting. I wouldn't even understand this if you have Jokic that far ahead a week ago and do like a 4.0 and have Giannis take 62 votes himself down this time. You see where I'm going with this? Because that's what it feels like. We're throwing the entire season out and what all the talking points were because of two games and a straw poll. Because if Giannis is charging up the leaderboard like he is, would the new poll come out and be like the nine guys that voted for him, the 62 for Jokic, go, you know what? I don't know if Jokic actually is the MVP. It might be Giannis now after the last two games. Mm-hmm. That's asinine when you take a look at they play an 82-game schedule. But this is why it's so fascinating to see the market manipulation of what actually comes out, because I want to see where it ends up. Like, can you imagine these straw polls coming out with a week and a half to play? Jokic is by far the MVP, only to see Giannis get it in a landslide when they actually vote? I'm here for it. I am.
I believe if I were to try and somehow give you how did this happen? How could that happen, right? It's been a close race throughout, right? Which, again, I think a lot of people would agree, other than the odds that had Giannis way at the back of the pack. So if it was close, Donnie, then it's going to be won over the last seven games with marquee performances. And Giannis just gave it to you. And I'll say this, if Embiid has a chance, I'm not so sure, to be honest with you. I think Giannis does. You know who the Lakers can help out? The Lakers, the rest of these guys. When they play Denver Sunday, prime time, the ABC game, day after the Final Four, biggest game on. I'm telling you right now, if AD is back, Donnie, and he's eating Jokic's lunch, it has to move. Because, like, that's my biggest read at this point, Donnie, is that this race isn't over no matter what the Jokic price is. The Jokic voter can't be so stubborn to think that this race is over, can they?
I don't know. Like, the way the straw poll came out basically had it under lock and key, and the reason why I think the betting markets are still in that favor is we just talked about it. Embiid had a big night. Giannis had an incredible night. And I know I'm trying to use this to say, well, Donnie, Giannis went from 10 to 1 to plus 550. Yes, that is a move, but it's still a relative move. Like, you're still so far back. It's like when you take an NCAA future, hey, got 80 to 1. Well, it's still 41, but that's a big move, but you're still a prohibitive long shot at this point to win it. Because I would have felt a little bit better here if Joel Embiid was still at that 2-to-1 price, but Jokic went from minus 190 to minus 160. And I'd say, okay, here's the market starting to evolve right now with a legitimate chance for Giannis to come back in. And it almost looks like you're shifting those odds because you are getting Giannis bets here to win MVP. But at the same time, Jokic is still strengthening his hold on that lead by going from the minus 135s to minus 150s to minus 175s now to the 2-to-1 prices here at the FanDuel Sportsbook.
It is a really interesting race that we will continue to follow. Let's bring in the Sixers result here. 102-94, they lose to Detroit. Shout out the Pistons. An unbelievable run post-break. 16-2-1 against the number since the All-Star break. Only two non-covers. They lost outright as a favorite. They are favored tonight, so, you know, do with that what you must. The double-digit number felt all too easy. It was all too easy. The Pistons win this game. The thing, Donnie, that sticks out here, we'll get into this a lot more on the other side, is not, man, they lost with Embiid being so good. A lot of fingers being pointed at James Harden. Some of those fingers belong to Doc Rivers, who said, yeah, I don't think the problem was the bench. I think it was Harden.
Yeah, which is really interesting because James Harden, agreed, didn't play his best game. But the notion that the 76ers are going to sink or swim based on James Harden and Joel Embiid, that's valid. That's going to happen. That's what happens when you have superstar players. But I'm not passing the buck on James Harden. I'm not passing the buck on Joel Embiid, who had a great night last night. Where is the rest of the team? Isn't your job as an NBA player to be so much easier when you have two stars either A, taking the shots or taking up all the spotlight from the opposing team's defenders here? And I look at that bench, Danny Green, veteran guy, 0 points last night. You know, DeAndre Jordan comes and gives you 2 points over 10 minutes. Shake Milton, 3 points. Furkan Korkmaz, 0 points. It's not supposed to be, and again, this isn't you're playing the Miami Heat in a playoff scenario. You're playing the Detroit Pistons as a 10-point favorite. We both laughed at that. Hey, you got to take the Pistons with the 10 points here. Never mind wildest dreams. I think the Sixers would come up absolutely lame in this game like they did. James Harden, step it up. But the rest of this team, you stink.
61 bench minutes accounted for 8 points. And Doc Rivers thought it was a good time to attack his star. Yeah, we'll talk about this next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. Let's do final four markets in just a minute. But I want to close out the Pistons win over the Sixers. The result is a disappointing one. Philly looks semi-unmotivated, though. Down the backstretch here, Harden struggling. Maybe Philly secretly happy to be the four seed and make sure that they don't play Brooklyn in the opening round of the playoffs. All of that's certainly live. But a post-game presser where Doc Rivers watches his bench give him 8 total points in 61 minutes of combined action, say, yeah, no, I don't think it was any of their fault. I think it was really on James, is so incredibly bad. It's such bad coaching that it should be surprising, but it's not. Because last year, anybody around this Sixers organization, fans, the front office, players, spent so much time blaming everything on Ben Simmons. They forgot a lot of the other problems, especially Doc Rivers, who's an awful coach when it comes to going out there and winning a basketball game. Doc Rivers is the reason that the Sixers lost to the Bucks, as he had Harden and Embiid, who were both playing very well, glued to the bench while Giannis dominated George's Niang and Furkan Korkmaz-led lineups. But he doesn't adjust. And then yesterday, again, it doesn't go well for the Sixers, and he goes to the same playbook he went to last year. Blame the whole thing on Ben Simmons. Oh, Doc's being honest. Well, now he's blaming the whole thing on Harden. And that's one of the worst ideas imaginable. This Sixers front office is in their right to fire Doc Rivers on the spot and not even let him coach this postseason. There was a report that just came out that Harden consistently promised Kevin Durant that he would be resigning. Consistently. And that never happened. And then it just so happened that Harden, a $1 million slip of the mind, forgot to sign the extension when he was traded to Philadelphia. Yeah, that's what you want to do, Donnie. Have your head coach, Doc Rivers, push Harden like this while he's not even locked up past season's end. I'd fire Doc before the postseason even begins. He's not going to help you cross the finish line as is. Philly right now, I don't know if there's any other way to look at it. They appear to be in a complete free fall as we're getting closer and closer to the most important time of the year.
Yeah, it's not a great look. And the only thing that's really helping out Doc Rivers right now is he followed a even bigger buffoon in Brett Brown. So even though we're saying, like, hey, Doc Rivers is a bad head coach, you say, well, you want Brett Brown back? You want that type of nonsense? So that is helping him slightly here. But it doesn't make sense for a coach. And sometimes, you know, we talk about Bruce Arians, right? And yesterday on the show on the Money Line saying, you know what, I would like to play for a guy like that because he tells it like it is. Sometimes I feel like Doc Rivers doesn't tell it like it is because it's good for Doc Rivers to do that in that way, shape, or form. Like, oh, I'm going to rip it. Like, how about Doc Rivers sits down and goes, you know what? I got out coached tonight. It was terrible. Like, yes, James Harden, I need him to play better. He knows he has to play better, but this is on me. Like, my rotations are terrible. I can't get the bench to respond. Maybe it's on me. Like, you know what, Doc? That's respect there. Instead of always, why did you lose, Doc? Pshah! See what that player did out there tonight? When everybody, if your local sports talk beat writers say, what is with the rotations here? When you lose games, it's very easy to say, hey, man, star player didn't play that well. But the constant night-to-night thing on Doc Rivers is, what is up with your rotations? Why do you have 10-point leads and they disappear in 2.5 minutes and you can't see the run coming from the other team? And everybody's going to get on James Harden. You can't be 4 of 15 from the floor last night. But let's also remember, he still gave you 18, 9, and 7. He wasn't the reason you lost the game. The reason you lost the game is because, Doc, you can't develop a bench and get anything out of your bench. And also, Matisse Thybulle in the starting lineup here, he's a bench guy. He is Ben Simmons light. 0 offensive game, give you a little bit of defense. That sounds like the perfect guy on the bench, and maybe you include more offense in your starting lineup. Well, hey, Matisse Thybulle doesn't close games out. Matisse Thybulle played 32 minutes yesterday. Stop the madness in this. Tyrese Maxey, everybody, you can't give up LeBron in his prime to go get him because we don't want to give up Maxey here in Philadelphia. Step up to the plate. 13 points for that last night against the Pistons. But again, you're only going as far as your superstars are. And the fact that Tobias Harris continues to play 36 minutes and score 14 points and fly under that radar as a max guy is hilarious. Doc Rivers every night should sit down at his post-game press conference and go, let me look at the contracts on this team and go and say, wait a second. Who paid Tobias Harris this much money and you're sallying me with this guy? That should lead the press conference.
Yeah. I honestly, the other thing he should try is, I don't know how our front office watched DeAndre Jordan be the worst player in the NBA with the Lakers, get cut, and then tell me this is my backup center. 10 minutes of work, he's a minus nine, worst on the team. I mean, it's a comedy routine. I don't understand, like, what? Like, you can't, he's bad at basketball now. Like, at one point he wasn't, but now he's bad. Like, do people not, like, he was on the Brooklyn Nets who wanted to win a title. You think that he wasn't on Brooklyn by mistake? He was on the Lakers who wanted to win a title and needed help anywhere they could get it. Cut. And the Sixers went, psh, those two teams, man, they didn't know what they were doing. We'll fix this? Like, no, you won't. And you didn't. And here you are. Like, this 10 minutes is 10 too many, genuinely, for him. Play Paul Reed. See how it goes. Try small ball. Try Tobias at the five. I don't figure it out. This is not working. You can't lose by eight in Detroit, and Harden and Embiid are both a minus one. It's ridiculous. You can't score 15 in the fourth quarter. Like, and I can't blame Embiid, but like, Embiid should be responsible for taking every shot in the fourth if this is what it's going to be. Just let him go for 70. I don't care. This is just completely ridiculous. NBA last night delivered, though, a lot of big games. There could be more we could get to, but I want to talk a little bit about the Final Four here in our opening hour. Obviously a big deal. Kansas Nova, Duke UNC. Your full previews will be coming inside hour number two. But Donnie, as you mentioned, you know, feels like a Football Friday. We've got some of these special markets that remind me of the Football Friday. Highest scoring team, lowest scoring team, player-specific markets here. And one market that I thought for a little hot or not action was interesting is who will score the most points on Final Four Saturday. They're offering up Kansas at a big number, plus 450. Duke's the favorite in the market at minus 110. UNC checks in at plus 200. Nova, huge long shot, plus 950. Hot or not, though, Donnie, Final Four Saturday's highest scoring team will be Kansas.
No, that's one of the worst ones that you could pick out of here. Because if we're looking at both of these games, Duke and North Carolina, the winner's got to be coming out of that one, right? I understand that. But we're talking about a game like you got the Ferrari that's ready to let it rip on a nice hot summer day with the top down. Or you can go with a Volkswagen or a Turtle on the side of the road here. And that's what you're probably going to get out of Kansas and Villanova. So it's a nice price at plus 450. But I don't even think you have an absolute shot at that. So you can give me 450 with Kansas. You can give me Villanova 950. And that's ridiculous. They should be bumped up to 10-1 and 20-1 for my purposes here. Because the two Ferraris on offense and one a race are UNC and Duke. Now you say, Donnie, hey, anything can happen in the Final Four. They're playing in a giant arena. These two teams know each other better than ever. I get it. But you still need pace and you still need tempo. And you're not going to get that at all in Kansas and Villanova, in my opinion. So I can only shift to Duke and North Carolina. Now, talking about the team that scored the most points this weekend, the favorite, right? Duke, minus 110. I'm not interested in that, Kevin. So I am going to take the North Carolina Tar Heels here in an upset bid over Duke and take the 2-1 price there as they will be the highest scoring team. Because for my money, it's coming between Duke and North Carolina and not coming from Kansas and Villanova. So to get back to the original question, if I even remember the phrasing here, I believe I'm supposed to say it's not hot or it's cold that Kansas is not going to be the plus 450. Does that sound right? I mean, enough with these riddles you're giving me in these things. So knock it off.
Yeah, no, I know, man. Will Kansas score the most points? And Donnie's like, I don't know, man. It's room temperature. It's decent. Here's the thing. You could easily sell me that Duke minus 110 in this market is a money line wager on the Blue Devils. They're minus 196 money line versus UNC. You could certainly sell me on that. It'd be a stunner if it didn't play out that way. As Donnie mentioned, the big thing and the reason why there's so much plus money to be had is there's only two games to pick from, but you also need to pick the winner, obviously, to be right. The funny thing about this is I'd love to sit here and be like, man, Nova could win. Why not? I don't see a world where Nova is winning with 85 on the board. Like, that's just, I can't. get there. Like, I don't think it's kind of a good idea to grab one of the first two teams right at the big prices, and you kind of have the numbers set going into game number two, and maybe you can kind of find a live number that gives yourself some opportunity there. But again, you bet Kansas and they win the game, you know, 63-58. There's not going to be much leeway going into game number two. It's an interesting market, though. It really puts into perspective how drastic the totals are. Because for North Carolina, despite being a dog, to be comfortably in front of Kansas, again, shows where those games are listed. They also have a neat market, Donnie, around the highest scoring player on Final Four Saturday. They also, by the way, have a secondary one for the most points for the Final Four as a whole, meaning Saturday and then the national championship game, which really makes things tangy. But on Saturday alone, Donnie, it's been Caro the favorite at plus 500. Will he be the leading scorer on Final Four Saturday?
I'm going to say no on that, because if I'm going to take UNC as being the highest scoring team on Saturday, you probably should back it up here and make some sense of it here and take a North Carolina player. So if we're taking a look at Paolo Banchero, obviously of Duke, 5-1 here, Manic at a plus 750 price. And this is what I like, Kevin, because we just talked about prices like, oh, who's going to be the highest scoring team? Minus 110, plus 200, not really big numbers, but you're getting big numbers across the board here. Baycott, who's been sensational in the last update I saw, averaging 17 and 16, which is incredible throughout his tournament run. But I'm going to go Caleb Love plus 950, the ability to heat up at the right moments. Sometimes, Kevin, because I think the easiest one to look at is Banchero, because when you say, well, what are you going to get out of him? Probably no doubt 15 plus points at his worst, and I can live with that. But I also like some of those guys that can give you, Kevin, 4 points on any given night, but also go for 25 plus on any given night. And if I do think that we're going to get an up-tempo game, which we're listed at 151.5 as a total, I got to pick from that North Carolina team, and I'm going to go Caleb Love at a plus 950 price here.
Yeah, I think, to me, there's a ton of value in this market. You have the ability to bet so many guys. I also am not looking to bet Banchero. We do have a two-game sample size of his matchups versus UNC, 23 and 13 were his two performances there. That's less important. Banchero's not typically, you know, oh, here's 30. UNC has like four guys that could give you 30, right? RJ Davis, Caleb Love, Brady Manick. I'll tell you right now, I'm interested, though, in Jermaine Samuels or even a Colin Gillespie. So I know that they're supposed to be the lowest scoring team. They have a big gap now with Justin Moore out. It certainly provides some value there. 11-1 Colin Gillespie, 15-1 Jermaine Samuels. We'll close this all out. Hour number one right here on the early line. It's Kevin Wall, Nani Right Side Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm going to sneak in a little baseball before we close out hour number one. Next week, we get back on a Monday, obviously, and it's baseball week. Like, that's opening week of Major League Baseball Thursday. So we're less than a week out. Some unfortunate news around Jacob deGrom. Now, it's not dire, but he has shoulder tightness. Maybe misses opening day. Was supposed to have a start today, probably last of spring. And that is going to be canceled. This guy's plus 390 to win Cy Young. DRS and I talked about this when we were doing Moneyline. And I said, that is plus 390 on will Jacob deGrom stay healthy. He will win this award if he stays healthy. But maybe we're already getting an idea, Donnie, that he won't.
And it's a shame of it all, right? Because the joke going around for us this year should be, hey, if Jacob deGrom doesn't throw a pitch in 2022, he's probably still the favorite to win the Cy Young at the end of the year because he's that talented. But this is never a good thing. And usually you'd say to yourself, like, hey, what, shoulder soreness here? You know, coming up in spring training, not that big of a deal, but you get a full-blown panic attack when you start talking about Mets and star pitchers and power pitchers having arm troubles, because it seems like the Mets are a ready-made division winner and or National League champion, because if you have a 1-2 punch of Scherzer and DeGrom and they're both healthy, well, what's the rest of the NL East going to do with that? Yeah. But if you're starting the season where you're worried about Jacob deGrom already, and we do know Max Scherzer, who got a lot of money, had dead arm syndrome at the end of last year, that's got to send alarm bells up here for the Mets upper management.
Look, the one thing I would say, if you are interested in betting DeGrom, him missing the first month is not the worst thing in the world. If DeGrom, if you take the DeGrom season last year and all the time that he missed, you front loaded and he runs off that fantastic 3 month-ish. I don't have the, you know, whatever it was down the back end. I think I genuinely believe he wins Cy Young. That's my honest belief. But it had been so long since anybody saw DeGrom, it felt like it was going to be hard to give it to him. He misses the first month and is healthy the rest of the way. You'll get a better number, and he'll still probably win the award. Bobby Wagner is a Ram. That's where we start for our number.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.